I want to tell you about a new podcast called Amuse News. Publishing multiple days a week, Amuse News is your source for food news, interviews from around the food world, and more. On the show, we'll be engaging with food storytellers, from chefs to advocates to people working in the field, and many more. Find Amuse News wherever you get your podcasts. Amuse News is a destination for everyone who's looking for a new, insightful look into the world of food.
You're listening to Heritage Radio Network. With more than 30 weekly podcasts, HRN has something for every food lover. Learn more at heritageradionetwork.org.
This episode is brought to you by Hearst Ranch, grass-fed beef raised on California's Central Coast. Available seasonally at select Whole Foods markets. Learn more at HearstRanch.com.
This episode is brought to you by Wisconsin Cheese. We've been making cheese in Wisconsin since before we were even a state, which may be one reason why we win so many awards for it. It's what happens when a whole state dreams in cheese. Find your next favorite cheese at WisconsinCheese.com.
Hey, welcome to Beer Sessions Radio on Heritage Radio Network. It's another show, November 2023. We're in Copenhagen, Denmark. Today, we're following the trail of John's Hot Dog Deli, the magical, what is it, street dogs that we're going to learn a lot about today and taste. And we'll also probably compare them with some beers and hot dogs and everything. So let's have our guests introduce ourselves. It's another special group of Copenhagen folk.
Hi, I'm John. I got John's Hot Dog Deli here in Copenhagen. And yeah, make a fucking lot of hot dogs, good hot dogs. Make some different ones nobody else get. That's the way we do it.
Good intro.
And I'm Lasse. I am the hot dog judge. You can find me on Instagram. And I've traveled the whole world and eaten hot dogs everywhere, including in New York. And anywhere from New York to Taiwan to South Africa, and of course here in Copenhagen, where we got some of the best in the world.
That's great. So a little backstory. hold on. So
forget just to taste a little bit of it. He eat it all.
It's not the hot dogs. It's the beer.
No.
So let's go back. So I met Lasse many years ago. He was in New York City. We had some friends from Denmark who are selling the Copenhagen street dog concept, the Poza, in New York. And I remember how cool that was. They had some competitions at Jimmy's Number 43 on the best toppings, and they were very good at marketing. I think that in the end, they decided that it wasn't really quite the right place for Copenhagen street dogs. But that's been my intro, and because of that, I met Lasse. Lasse, just a few words about Mr. John here. But then we're going to let John talk because this guy can talk.
Absolutely. So back in the day on the Copenhagen hot dog scene, you could get only sort of the factory stuff. And then John came around and he was quite the maverick because he chose to actually serve something that he wanted to eat himself. So a focus on quality and not just doing the usual stuff. So I'm pretty sure that all the other hot dog vendors, they were like, yeah, he'll last a couple of months and then we'll have a good spot for another hot dog cart. But John is still here, and I'd say even a lot of them, they're not around anymore. So he's proven that quality goes a long way here. And I think one key, I mean, apart from the good quality, I also think that you have proven over and over again that a hot dog doesn't need to just be the classic Danish one. It can be a lot of different combinations that are extremely tasteful. And that's actually something we haven't had really in Copenhagen before. And I think that's, well, personally, I think that's a huge benefit to the hot dog scene here.
Well, I travel all over the world and tasted so many good stuff. So when I get back and started my hot dog stand, I say, why not put that on a hot dog? I've been traveling a lot in Japan, in US, I've been living in England for 10 years, and all those toppings they use for almost everything, why not put it on a hot dog? And people were screaming in the beginning, and all the companies say, oh, you will get bankrupt in a couple of months. Oh, fuck you. I don't give a shit what people are saying. I'll just do it the way I want to do it. Maybe it's not the right way. I can tell you, I feed a lot of rat out here with all the stuff I tried to make. It didn't work out. The rat out here, they loved me.
Yeah. Well, let's go back. So you the idea of bolsa in Copenhagen. I mean, in New York, we have street dogs. They're boiled dogs. You don't think too much of them. But what are some of the street dogs around the world that you may be inspired by? John, you mentioned Chicago.
Yeah.
Lassie, you've been around the world.
Chicago, he was an amazing guy. I've been visiting him a couple of times. Unfortunately, he's closed now. But Chicago dog is good. New York dogs is fucking boring.
I have to agree. And I will...
I'll not even give it to my worst enemy. You don't even give it to a homeless.
But there are exceptions, because when Japa Dog was in New York, that was very good. And we still have Criff Dogs, which is actually sort of the same concept as what you're doing at Hot Dogs in Chicago.
So the key is that the topping, that's number one?
No. Number one is get the good sausages. And don't take all the factory shit. You have to go to a butcher. Develop your own sausages. Because all the factories are only thinking about one thing, that's profit. They give you rubbish.
I've been into a hot dog factory years ago, and I saw how they make it. There was a lot of ice, and they had ways of increasing the weight for very little cost.
Yeah. It's the same here. Rubbish.
Wasn't it Bismarck who said you shouldn't look into how sausages and politics are made, because it's very, very unpleasant to watch, but the result can be very positive.
So, John, for you, early days. So you were a pastry chef.
I'm a pastry chef. Educated as a pastry chef, and I've been working as a chef for many years. But I got an accident with my back and couldn't continue as a pastry chef and a chef. So here in Copenhagen, we have an old tradition with hot dog stands. It's all over 100 years old. And from the beginning, it has been, so if people couldn't continue on their normal work, they get their pension, they couldn't apply for a hot dog stand as a supplement to the pension. So when I got a problem, I applied for a hot dog stand and get one. I said, well, now I want to change it. Because I want a place where I want to come and eat. And people was laughing at me in the beginning because I changed the bread, find a better bread, instead of that rubbish, dry shit they have. And you can buy a sauce from remoulade. The only thing that's in it is white cabbage. It tastes like shit, to be honest. So I remember the sales guy coming down and saying, oh, you can do that, and you can put some of the water from the pickled cucumber in it, and then it's perfect. I said, oh, you're a fucking idiot. I've got to make my own. You know how? No, but I'll figure it out. And he said, you'll go bankrupt. Now, he went bankrupt with his company.
And then some from the remoulade, then how did you apply yourself to the sausages?
I found a good butcher, and here in Denmark we have a company called Steff Holberg. Aberdeen is their place, so I buy some of their sausages and develop my own. So I have always special hot dogs where you can get with the special sausages, and people say, oh yeah, of course you can do that. The company say, you can do that because you will not sell anything, but they're fucking pissed about it now. They get the agreement with me.
So what's different about your sausage? Well, first, what is the Polsa sausage? It's just, is it a pork, a beef? They have pink ones and red ones and brown ones.
We have the red ones as well. You know where the tradition from the red ones is? From Switzerland? Austria. From Austria. All the sausages have left from the day over. The next day, they color them red so people can see it was one day used.
Because they didn't have refrigeration back in the day, so it was quite important that you knew that it wasn't a fresh product.
Yeah.
However, quickly, it turned out that the red ones were actually more popular. So for a long time, red sausages, at least here in Copenhagen, were the only ones that you could actually get. But now they're not the most popular ones.
What about the making them red? Why was that more popular?
They were cheaper.
They were cheaper because they were left over from the day before.
Yeah.
That's the way it started with the red sausages. And now it's the Swedish that eat red sausages and children. And we have the old generation, they love red sausages as well. But today is a fresh one, it's not a leftover.
Yeah, exactly. And I will say that I also think that the quality relatively stood up, so it wasn't a problem that they were a day old, because you weren't eating something that was not good, if you could say it like that. It was still good. It was just a way to tell people that it wasn't fresh.
And then what are the sausages made of? Are they beef? Are they pork?
Pork. All the traditional sausages in Denmark is made of pork.
I mean, there's very little variety. I mean, most hot dog carts in Copenhagen will have a beef dog, but like in the US, it's very common to have turkey dogs. You really don't see that anywhere here.
No, I'm glad we don't see that.
they're not the most exquisitely tasting ones. I think
they can sell that in the US, in New York.
Yes.
It's the same with a New York dog. It tastes like shit. Sorry to say it, but
I mean, I tend to agree. I mean, I'll put it like this. If you go to a hot dog cart in New York, I mean, you're not going to get a quality hot dog. I will say that even though John is bashing the all the standard hot dog carts in Copenhagen, they will serve you a better product.
Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah.
A lot better. So
how do you serve it? So you've got a custom pork sausage now. And in New York, you know, it's steamed in the water. It's sitting in the water all day.
Yeah, we fry them on a pan. 95% of the products we have is fried. We fry them. It's only the red sausages we steam.
And like John said, today it's mostly kids and elderly people who are eating the red
ones.
And the Swedes visiting Copenhagen who are eating the red hot dogs. But it is truly, it is the original traditional one, if you could put it like that.
Yeah. No, and it's not the original one. The red one is not the original one here in Copenhagen.
I mean, is the red one still the day-old sausage?
No.
Let's go back to food, more food. So when you are a chef, you know, let's talk about your best hot dogs. So are you at one stand now? How do you operate? Because I'm here in this little kitchen. And we're on, what's this area that we're in?
This is the meatpacking area. This is an old butcher area. Unfortunately, there's no butchers left in here. But this facility was a horse butchery. There's a lot of horses in here. And horses taste actually pretty good.
It was the meat of the 19th century, right? In France, you got every butcher has a horse head. And
you can still buy a horse. And horse meat is always tender. You will never get, it can't be too old.
I have to agree. I don't think I've had a hot dog with horse meat.
No.
But I've had sushi in Tokyo
with
horse sashimi, and it was phenomenal.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
You know, Alessa, you've traveled so much. Do you always end up wanting to come back to the Copenhagen street dogs, or have you found better street dogs in Copenhagen? And then we'll have you compare the best one to John's.
So I'll say on average, if you go to get a street dog, I do think that Copenhagen is one of the best places to be, because in a lot of other places it's a little bit of a hit and miss. But I will say that the Johns of the world, so everywhere you go, you'll find Mavericks like John who are actually doing something innovative and focusing more on delivering a quality product. And you can find those in a lot of places, whether it's Tokyo or New York or Chicago, Denmark, you know, wherever. You'll find those Mavericks, and that's the ones that I usually go for when I'm out traveling.
And let's talk about a good hot dog. The hot dog itself, for you, what makes a good hot dog and others that you've tried? Because I always like, there's a butcher, then it's like how they process it. In New York, I have the Eastern European butchers. They make a veal hot dog that sometimes I'll take to a barbecue and just grill up.
The Danish butchers, I think they're pretty amazing what they're doing with the meat and the pork. The butcher I have is a guy called Gert Nielsen. He has been in here for centuries. Now he's moved out. But the way he do it is amazing. He is really amazing. The quality of the meat is free-range meat. He only use free-range meat for our sausages and a good quality.
Maybe we should just touch on the composition of a traditional Danish hot dog. So we can sort of go from there, because that's essentially what John has done with his hot dog stand. So the traditional one, you of course you have a piece of bread, but it's toasted. It's not cold like you'll get at a New York hot dog stand. It's toasted. In there you'll have a pork wiener, some kind of pork sausage traditionally. Traditionally it was steamed, now it's pan fried. Yeah. And as far as the topping goes, you'll have a somewhat pungent brown mustard, you'll have ketchup, and then you'll have remoulade sauce. And some Americans, they will recognize remoulade sauce as something you put on seafood, especially when you're in New Orleans and so on. But it's a different kind of remoulade sauce, so you can't really compare it to that. So if you're looking for a recipe, you have to find the right one, not the one that's for fish food. And then on top of that, you have diced fresh onions, you have crispy fried onions, and then you have pickled cucumber. And between all those tastes, you actually get sort of the perfect bite every time you bite into a hot dog, because you have sweet, sour, you have some umami and salty. I mean, and then you also, in terms of mouthfeel, you have the soft bread, you have the snap from the sausage when you bite into it, and you have some crispy sensation with the onions.
Yeah, totally forget. You need a cocky chocolate milk to it.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I think like you get champagne with oysters everywhere. If you're eating a hot dog in Copenhagen, you need a chocolate milk.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a standard thing. But really, it is the perfect bite that's sort of been designed, and of course, the idea, my impression of John is he thought, okay, we have a basic concept here. Now, how can we elevate the quality of each ingredient? And to me, that's what you've done successfully, John.
I'm trying to do my best and try. Every time I went to too many restaurants, I go about 2 or 3 times a week to eat, and I see some new elements on the plate. I say, well, I can use that on a hot fucking hot dog. And if I don't know how to make it, I ask a chef and say, hey, how do you make that? I'm going to use it for my hot dog. Oh, yeah, cool. I have no problems to get recipe from all the restaurants all over the world. I've been to Noma to serve night food to the staff. I've been to Alchemist to serve. And if I ask for a recipe, I would get it, no problem.
So you're open to sharing?
Yeah. And if people ask for my recipes, how I make my stuff, of course you can get it.
I was with
a better world again.
Mikkel Friisholm yesterday, the chocolate maker, he said the same thing. He says, we share, and he says, go ahead, you try to make it. Most people will take shortcuts.
Yeah. And it's the same people say, oh, and now I can make all your toppings and open my own hot dog stand. Yeah, but you'll never get the same result as I do because you don't put your heart in it.
So let's talk about maybe the top five hot dog toppings that you've done, the unusual ones, different inspirations, and Lasse will join him, but start with a couple. Like, say, when you went to Noma, what did you serve them?
I made one with kimchi, and I made a lot of grainy mustard. I made with wasabi, sauce espalette. I made a lot of beer mustard. Use a lot of Mikkel beer. Mikkel is a good friend of mine. And all kind of toppings. I pickle a lot. There's nothing you can pickle or ferment.
So everything that we're looking at, these are ingredients that you're cooking with. So we're right here in your kitchen.
Yeah, that's my kitchen, my little kitchen. And out in the back, we have all the fermenting stuff, all the chili that's fermenting. We get all the chilies from and fermented for at least 3 months and then slow juice it and make our own hot sauce.
And when did you start making this? So it's Copenhagen Hot Sauce and Mustard Company.
Oh, it was many years ago. The reason I started making it because I was in the U.S. to make a hot dog for a brewery called Tree Floyd. And I want some hot sauce with me back home. I bought 52 hot sauces in the U.S. I kicked 45 of them out at the hotel. It tastes disgusting. There's only fucking vinegar in it. There's no fucking taste. So I say, well, I can do that better. So I get back home and start to experiment with it. Read a lot about it. So now I got my own series of hot sauce.
It's classic John, this. And when he applies it, the result will be good. And I mean, some of the collaborations that you've done with hot sauce,
yeah.
I mean, they don't translate outside of Denmark, but you've taken some very popular cult brands and done some hot sauce stuff. I'm specifically thinking of the Sport Cola,
yeah.
Which, I mean, I was lucky enough to get one of those from the original batch, and it's amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, also because it's not just vinegar. You can get a lot of different notes in the taste and so on. So it makes it interesting.
I don't put that much vinegar in it. No. The U.S., they put too much vinegar in it. If you take Tabasco, you can't say a bad word about Tabasco the way they make it. They ferment it and let it stand for at least 5 years and everything. That's perfect, but there's too much vinegar in it. If they reduce the vinegar, it would be amazing.
So, John, what is the good way to make your hot sauce? What are the processes?
I start to get all the fresh chilies. I got it from Netherlands. I have a greenhouse, a good company. They grow all the best chili we can get here. And when I get it fresh home, we mince it with a little bit of salt, garlic, and a little bit of sugar, and let it stand out there for 3 months to ferment, at least 3 months. Salt will ferment for almost 2 years. Depends on what kind of sauce we're gonna make. After that, we're gonna slow juice it. So we only get the juice out of it. All the pulp that's left, we use for pickling, for sausages, and everything else we can use. There's no waste on it.
I think that's a perfect example of how you're thinking here, John. Because then when you make a special hot dog in the hot dog cart with a sausage that's unique, then I mean a lot of times you'll have some of this pulp from the hot sauce production that's actually in the sausage, yeah. And I mean it just works phenomenally. And I mean I've never heard of anybody who thought of that before. But I guess you also don't have many hot dog guys who also run a hot sauce business. So, I mean, It's an obvious link once you've tasted it, but I don't think that other people are doing it.
Why throw it out when you can use it? There's a lot of restaurants that get it. They pickle the herring in it for the chili herring. Yeah. And there's a small distillery up there. They make chili snaps with it. Yeah. Why not? Why don't you use it?
Wait, so, gentlemen, so after you've fermented the chilies, you're saying you slow drip, so you kind of put them in a strainer?
Slow juice it. And then we add vinegar to it and a little bit of Santa gum so it don't split.
What's a slow juice?
A slow juicing is like a juicer, but it runs very slow, so they don't heat it up. When you heat it up, you lose a lot of flavor.
So it's almost like a little press.
Yeah, it's like cold pressing, you could really say. So I mean, you're used to like oils, like olive oils and so on. If it's cold pressed, it's a slower process and it's a better tasting product, right? So that's really what you're doing here.
Cheers.
You want to taste?
We're going to taste. Let's bring it out and we'll taste it. We'll keep talking. I tell you what, we'll take a short break. We're going to be back in a few minutes on Beer Sessions Radio. All right.
Hearst Ranch, in collaboration with Whole Foods Market, is proud to be the presenting sponsor of The Farm Report, a special HRN series in collaboration with the National Young Farmers Coalition. Tune in each week to hear from farmers, policymakers, organizers, and food advocates about all the ways the Farm Bill directly impacts our lives, whether we realize it or not. They'll break down farm policy and talk to young farmers about what hangs in the balance for them as another Farm Bill gets made. Join the coalition to shift power and change policy for the next generation of growers and land stewards. The future of good food depends on it. Learn more at heritageradionetwork.org or wherever you listen to podcasts.
We're back, heritageradionetwork.org. Keep going.
There's a brewery called Pennyland on Bornholm. She made some... I don't like her beer. It's disgusting. But it has to taste that way, her beer. She made a cherry beer. It's like a sour beer. So I add more cherry to it and a lot of good chilies. So we made a hot sauce for her. I made
good stuff.
Michele, with his black beer. Another one I made.
First taste of beer today is going to be the Michele's black beer hot sauce here.
This one is a new one I made. It's a sauce espelé.
I've been looking very much forward to tasting this one, actually.
Yeah.
What is it about this one?
Sauce espelé. If you take Piment espelé, it's a very mild, like a paprika.
Yeah, is it... are these ones from Spain, or...?
Espelette, like espelette peppers?
No, they are from France.
Espelette,
We got the license so we can keep the name.
I mean, I'm looking forward to tasting that one. I mean, I've tasted this one before. This one is probably a little exotic. But I'll put my head on the line here and say I'm betting that they're all going to be good.
Yeah. Well, I guess this is about as close as we're going to get to Mikkel from Michele's. We're usually a beer show, but we haven't really gone to too many breweries on this trip. I think we really wanted to dive into some of the food personalities. But it shows you here that there's a great overlap with the food and beer and the culture. For you, Lasse, you're out of the country a lot. You've traveled. But what do you think of the food scene here, the food and beer scene? Is it everyone knows each other?
Well, Copenhagen is by international standards almost a town. I mean, if you tell people from Copenhagen that, they'll frown upon you, but it's very little. So I'd say everybody knows, maybe not knows everybody, but everybody will know someone who knows someone. So in that sense, it is a small scene. But I think it's the Copenhagen food scene. I mean, it's really exploded over the last 15 years or so. And there's a lot of interesting things going on. And of course, we internationally, it's recognized with New Nordic and Noma restaurants and all this. But of course, there's a lot of stuff going on underneath those sort of top tier level restaurants, gourmet experiences. So something like hot dogs, or another venture that I'm into, gravy burgers, the beef sandwich, which is also something that's a bit off and very Danish, but has also seen a huge renaissance in the last 10 years, where it's gone from being sort of a mediocre hot dog stand kind of thing to now it's served in restaurants with the cloths on the table and so on.
So what's a gravy burger? Is that something you use with horse meat?
No. It's beef, and actually it has a lot of the elements that you'll find on a Copenhagen hot dog. So the mustard, the ketchup, the remoulade, the raw onions, the crispy onions, and then once you assemble this burger, you douse it in gravy. And it can be any kind of gravy, really. So like a pork gravy or...
So you could kind of keep it simmering on a little burner or something.
Absolutely, absolutely. And the thing is, I mean, you can probably envision that it's not easy to eat with your fingers, so you need a knife and a fork. But I think that the taste will make up for it because it's quite the experience.
You know, now I keep on talking about horse meat just because the history of butchers, but I think that's another show. But... I think we're going to taste some hot sauces here. But so, John, I love seeing you work, man. I mean, this is a chef in action. You're making the sauces. You're cooking us some duck.
Yeah.
Ducks. So how do you go about making a specialty sausage? So you have saying there's a duck sausage that you're cooking.
This one is a Christmas. We have an old tradition in Denmark to eat a duck at Christmas. And I say, why not make a sausage with it? So... So 40% of it is confit duck. Another 40% is with a outboned duck leg, and then 20% of pork. You need to make a good sausage to bind it. You need a good pork to make a bind.
Is that the fat?
Sorry?
Is it the fat that binds?
Yeah, the fat that binds a lot.
All right.
And what about the pork here? Are you using, like, your butcher that you're working with? Does he specify the pork? Or how far do you get into choosing the meats?
Sorry, one more time?
So your butcher who's making your sausages, yeah. How involved do you get in picking the meat or the sourcing?
I exactly tell him what kind of meat I want. And he make it straight after my recipe. There's no problem.
Yeah.
I told him I only want free range pork. I get only free range pork. I can get the cut I want, and no problem.
Hey, let's go back to your friend Mikkel here.
Yeah.
So you know, we do a beer show. We're not going to talk to Mikkel on this trip, but how important is beer and sausages in Copenhagen?
It's very important because Mikkel has the beer festival, and I've been there for the last 12 years to make a hot dog for the beer festivals. I made build your own dog at the beer festival. I put up a table like this, put up 20 different kinds of toppings. People get the bun, the sausages, and build their own dog.
Wait a minute. You're the guy serving hot dogs at the Copenhagen Beer Festival.
Yeah.
I heard about you. Some American expats said that they volunteered. Said that we're going to get volunteer at Mikkel's festival. They ended up serving the hot dogs, and they thought it was the thrill of their lives.
Yeah, that's cool.
Man, that is cool. You're the guy doing that. What do you think about that, Lasse? I mean, how many sausages did you serve at the Copenhagen Beer Festival?
A couple of thousand.
What's that operation like? So we're here now and here. Do you heat the sausages? What is the cart like? I want to know about the cart and then how you expand up to a festival model.
Well, up to the cart, they're standing up there now. They're standing in front of Tivoli. We have it down here. We drive it home every day and clean it. In the morning, she's coming in the morning and fill it up and everything. Drive it up there. And for the festival, it's different. Totally different setup. We have a big tent we set up, and we have the gas heater. We need a lot more up there for the festival than we do in the cart.
But so what are you heating with? Are there burners? Are there grills?
Yeah. It's a burners, gas burners.
Yeah, but I think it's griddles. You're pan frying the yeah. sausages on griddles, so gas-fired griddles. Yeah, yeah. And I mean, it works wonders. I mean, I've tried the hot dogs where you know you pick your own 20 different condiments kind of thing that John made, and I will say there's a huge problem with that, and it is it's very hard to choose what not to put on the dog. Because it's the selection is amazing.
Now, if I said I just want mustard, does that single me out? That's okay.
But it's okay for me. If you just want mustard, then you just do mustard. People can do what the fuck they want with the hot dog. Put that they want on it. I'm so fucking tired of the rest of the cart, hot dog cart out here and coming, oh, you need to take ketchup, you need to take mustard. No, we don't. If you don't want it, don't take it. Put everything on it. If you want cornflakes on it, put cornflakes on it. I don't give a shit.
What's going to go on your holiday duck sausage?
Today, we have a mustard, homemade mustard. With horseradish and apple and pickled red carpet and sauce marmalade and a little bit of potato chips on the top.
Wow, man, this is cool. I don't know what I imagined. I think I've seen commissaries in New York where, you know, they come in with a, there's a bin of already made the sausage and the sauerkrauts and everything and they clean the carts and then they go out the next day. You never think. So sometimes you see some innovative. Usually it's immigrants. They've got maybe a little grill and they're cooking kebabs as well. But and then some people do a fat sausage in New York. But and then there's the all beef. New York has a lot of kosher beef sausages.
The beef sausages can be amazing, but it's not a tradition here in Denmark. I have a cheese dog. Made a cheese sausage with two different types of cheese, pork, and a little bit wheel in it. But I have no regular beef sausages.
Yeah, it's not, and there's not the demand here.
I mean, Denmark is built on pork. So, I mean, I think there's 6 million people and 25 million pigs. So yeah. Some would argue 30 million swine in Denmark, but
and the pig population keeps growing, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. I mean, and almost all traditional dishes in Denmark, it's pork. It's pork, so it's just embedded in our culture. So I mean, it's not like we don't like beef sausages or anything other combinations. It's just so ingrained in our culture that it has to be pork.
So a guy like you, Lasse, when we're going to sit here with John, how many of these hot dogs are you going to eat before you're not hungry?
I mean, no. Well, I'm not the smallest. No. I'm not the smallest guy. Let's just put it like that. But I'll actually only eat a couple.
To be honest, you've never been hungry so bad.
I remember once, actually.
Yeah, I remember last time I had to lock my fridge. Every time Lasse is down here, we had put a lock on it.
I'm not sure that's entirely true, but it's a good story.
You went hungry once for bed, Lasse?
Yeah, maybe once.
Why?
I don't know.
I'm learning the old Danish traditions. You have to lock the fridge so that someone doesn't eat all your food, right? So when you grew up, John, like this hot dog thing, I freaking love it. I had a poster the other day in front of, there's a stand outside of the student house downtown.
Yeah.
I thought it was pretty good. But that's probably typical. What is that bread? Because I liked it. Did it have some rye in it? What's the typical bread?
It's probably, you got a normally white bread. It's actually boring.
When you taste my bread,
you can smell it. It also smells, it's baked with butter, like a brioche. But it's much better.
And you're still gonna put the bun in the skillet as well?
Yeah. We're gonna heat up the bun. Always when you get a hot dog here in Denmark, or if you just buy a sausage on a plate, the bun will be warm.
You know, one thing similar that took off in the Northeast the last 10 years, and lobster rolls.
Yeah.
You're having lobsters, you heat the bun up with butter.
Yeah.
And a lot more toppings. Toppings has become what people put on.
People here that make lobster rolls, lobster dog, and it can be good. Unfortunately, I can't eat lobster because I have allergies to that, shellfish. But it looks amazing.
Yeah. Well, back to beer. So what kind of beers do you drink with the sausage? You can mention other breweries, too, because we know McKellar. Are there...
Amager Brewhouse is amazing. They made a lot of good beer. We have another brewery called Flying Couch. They're small microbreweries, but they're amazing.
I say there's happened a lot on the beer scene in the last couple of years, and there's, I mean, of course, Michela is a big one internationally, but there's a lot of interesting beers happening. There's also some guys from, they open up over here, they're called Oben. They make some pretty interesting beer, I think. John doesn't look like he's too impressed.
No, Philip over there, no. That's boring beer. That's fucking boring.
What do you like? What styles do you like? Do you like black beer? I had some good brown beer the other night.
I like black beers. I just like a small amount of it. But some of the barrel aged Mikkel made and all the other guys made, that's fucking amazing. You can get a barrel aged from Amager called Double Black Mash, with your back. You can use drink at the hotel. That's an amazing one.
Sounds good. I was drinking a simple brown ale the other day at the Hop House. I can't remember the name, but I liked it. I went to the Hop House. It was on Amabro, Amabrogo, and I was really happy.
30 years ago, I worked there. It was a nightclub called Marcel Bodega. I was a doorman down there.
Well, I liked it because some of the expats, I know one of the guys who volunteer at your hot dog stand,
yeah.
They wanted to meet there, and I loved it because I didn't recognize the names of any of the breweries. They were all European, mostly Danish. I was so impressed with the craft beer scene out here. And most of all, my favorite beer was the brown ale. A lot of the ladies were coming in and ordering the sour beers. Typical mix of craft beer. But the brown ale was spot on. It was just what you wanted, a 4 or 5%. I loved it.
Yeah, but I never understand sour beers. I don't know why, but I never understand it.
Yeah, I like the strong. We remember McKellar from when he had those really strong imperial stouts, different types of coffee beans, some of them were the marketing was interesting. The civet type.
He made a lot of good beers. Breakfast stout.
Actually, on the stout, I love the story of the vanilla stout, which happened by accident. Because they were gypsy brewing it, and it was a Norwegian brewer, and I don't know if they had written it wrong in the recipe or he had read it wrong. But he ended up putting 10 times as much vanilla in there as the recipe called for. But actually, the product tastes surprisingly good. And it's definitely not something you'll get in a lot of places. I really like that one.
The vanilla
shake. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yep, thank you, mate. All right. Well, a couple more things. The questions about the hot dog trade. So you've made a name for yourself by being a chef. You know, you're doing what a chef would do.
Yeah.
You're sticking with your own. Some tricks that others can learn from you. What are the things that you've done that you consider unusual, perhaps? Keep talking. I want you to talk more, John.
Yeah,
tell me some stories about this.
When I started, all the hot dog stands here in Copenhagen were so boring. And I was so fucking tired of it because They made commercial from a Danish company, maybe Steff Holberg or Langeliner, big companies that sell hot dog. But they didn't sell their sausages. They buy it from the cheaper company and sell it as a Steff Holberg because they want to make profit. Ah, that's not okay. So I say, I want to change it. And at that time, there were 65 hot dog stands, and the 59 of them hated me when I started because I changed everything. I told them they were fucking idiots. I don't care. I didn't go into this business to get friends. I got into it to make a good business. And it's a good business now. So I don't give a shit what people are saying. I do it my way. And if they don't like it, turn around and go away. I don't give a shit.
And tell us about the meat market area here. When did you come in here and start working?
It's about 11 years ago we get in here. It's Steff Holberg that got the place, so we can rent in. I was in Christianshavn before. Amazing place as well. And unfortunately, now we have to move. They sold it. They don't want to be in here anymore. So we have to find a new spot. Fuck that. We'll find a new spot.
Yeah. But your operations, I mean, you've got a simple kitchen, refrigerator. I mean, how much do you need to run your back of house?
I need a lot more because I made a lot of stuff myself. We can go out here in the hall and see. You can see what I got here and what the other guy. There's two other guys out here with hot dog stands. You can see what they got. They got nothing because they don't make anything. They buy everything from a can and everything. Oh, we can use.
So right now your system is making. Are you bottling the sauces here and labeling them?
Yeah. We're bottling. We produce everything here.
That's amazing. What do you think, Lasse, being in a place like this, what are a couple other places around the world that have stood out for you? Do you get to be this close and really see what they're doing? Oh, let's grab the gear. Hold on. We'll take one more break and just pause. We'll take a short break. We'll be back in a few minutes on Beer Sessions Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Wisconsin Cheese. There's a reason when you think of Wisconsin, you think cheese. Cheese is a huge part of Wisconsin's history and future. In Wisconsin, the state of cheese, the tradition of cheesemaking excellence began 180 years ago, before Wisconsin was recognized as a state. Immigrants traveled to settle in this lush green hills of Wisconsin, bringing their cheesemaking traditions with them. These storied skills combined with the freshest milk available created a cheesemaking culture that is uniquely Wisconsin. Wisconsin's 1,200 cheesemakers, many of whom are third and fourth generation, continue to pass on old world traditions while adopting modern innovations in cheesemaking craftsmanship. Find your next favorite cheese at wisconsincheese.com.
Hey, welcome back to Beer Sessions Radio. We're coming back. We're walking around the hot dog factory here, John's Hot Dog Deli. We're in the office with John. This is quite neat. There's a little bit of rock and roll here. He's got imagery. He's showing us how he makes it.
Just make some more labels.
He's printing the label. This is the Copenhagen hot sauce. It's the Espelette. I remember when a chef friend of mine, Philip, first started using Espelette pepper. I think he was using it on the pork. Yeah. This is about 12, 15 years ago. Yeah. He's got a lot of alcohol. Is the alcohol you cook with that, or is that for drinking and friends?
I get a lot of alcohol, but I don't drink it. Yeah, I drink old port. I love old port.
I like the old port, too.
A lot of Magle beer and everything.
So you like old port. You like imperial stouts.
Yeah.
You like good concentrated flavors. You probably drink less.
You like sour beer?
I like sour beer a little bit. We'll try some beers. We'll take them.
Oh, you can't get that back home.
Thanks, man. Oh, Cantillon, wow. He's got Cantillon, he's got...
It's Miguel's brother, Jeppe.
I know Jeppe, we know Jeppe, evil twin.
Twin. He made that blueberry.
Wow, an evil twin Cantillon. Nice, very nice. We're still, this is like the after show, but we're going to just keep on until we run out of battery here. You know, I'm looking around the room. He's printing. I just love this place, man. He's printing out the labels. They're making hot sauces. They're making hot dogs. Lessa, for you.
Yeah.
You know, what? Tell me about a couple other spots around the world where you've eaten hot dogs.
I'll go to L.A. and to Wurstküche. Or Wurstküche, as I think most Americans think it's pronounced, where they have a sausage concept, which I think is phenomenal, and that is predator and prey. So they'll mix the meat and the sausages so you can get like rattlesnake and rabbit, alligator and pork, and so on. And it's actually quite the experience. So that's one place.
But is it because of the food or is it the concept?
Oh, so I think the audience will like this because it's actually made like a beer hall, but it also serves phenomenal hot dogs. So it's a perfect combination. And
Do you taste the difference if it's pork or pork and rattlesnake? Can you actually taste the difference?
Absolutely. 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 I mean, I'm not a rattlesnake expert, but it doesn't taste like the standard stuff. So, yeah, it's good. It's good. I'd recommend that.
All right, now we're going into there's the coolest here.
This is where all the chili is standing and fermenting. The meat grinder we have for the chili.
I think I'm gonna sign off because I'm gonna take pictures now. Yeah. But John, I one more time will say thanks so much for joining me on Heritage Radio Network. Big shout out to John and Lester. You guys say goodbye.
Thank you for joining us, and it was nice to meet you all, guys.
John's Hot Dog Deli.
And come to Copenhagen and get a hot dog and a beer. Thanks.
And Lasse, the hot dog judge. Thanks so much, Armin Spengen, engineer, Jimmy Carboni. Catch you next time on Heritage Radio Network. Thank you.
Beer Sessions Radio is powered by Simplecast. Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network. Food radio supported by you. Keep in touch at heritageradionetwork.org/subscribe.
Hey everybody, I'm Nick Layton.
And I'm Leah Bonema.
And we're the hosts of Were You Raised by Wolves?
Each week we try to make the world a kinder, nicer place.
Well, that's the idea at least.
I mean, we try.
Have you ever wondered what to do if you're ghosted?
Or what to do when a friend asks you to borrow money?
Or the proper way to eat Cheetos?
You know, the big questions.
So please find Were You Raised by Wolves wherever you listen.